what are we doing here today? Having communion at this time in our service. You may not have ever tried to figure this out, but let me just tell you from the pastor's point of view, communion Sundays that we have a communion service in the morning, you know, we have a message, and then we move into the communion service. Have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, the message kind of lends itself, leads itself, it's usually, there's some way you can just kind of move right into this, right? You figured that out? Okay, now in the evening, at least for a year or more, we've just been, the whole evening is a communion service, and we have songs and scripture and so on, and we don't have the message. Well, what's that have to do with today? The message that I wanted to preach today, I looked at it and I thought, how in the world am I going to make that connection after the message and say, at this time now, let's just look to the Lord and we'll celebrate and remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And the suggestion was, why don't you have it first? And that's what we're going to do. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there, Paul's account of the communion service, he starts at verse 23. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." We have the time, we have the context. It was the night the Lord was betrayed before, when he was in that upper room with his disciples before they went into the garden where Judas came with the soldiers. It was that night. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show," actually that word "show" means proclaim. This is a service of proclamation taking place here today. You are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. How long does the Lord intend for his people to be observing this service that we are involved in here? Till he comes. What do you mean, till he comes from where? Acts chapter 1. The Lord went up into heaven visibly. His followers saw him, and the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up? This same Jesus, which was taken from, which has gone to heaven, is going to come again in like manner as you have seen him go." You know, I am hoping in my lifetime he comes. I think it would be great if he come today. How about that?
Amen.
You know, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, I can't think of anything better than for him to come today. Well, what's that have to do with this. He intends his followers to observe this service until he comes. So, is the communion service ever going to be something that a solid Bible-believing church is going to just someday say, we're not going to do that anymore. Its days come and gone. Nope. Until the Lord comes. And so he said here, verse 27, wherefore, in light of all of this, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, that's what unworthily means there in the King James, in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What do you mean in an unworthy manner? First of all, it would be in an unworthy manner if you have never accepted the Lord as your own personal Savior. This is not for you. This is not for you to participate in. But another thing would be with known sin, unconfessed, known sin in your heart and life as a believer, and you're trying to just kind of pretend it's not there and it'll be okay. No, it's not okay. And that's why the Lord says, let a man examine himself. It's a time of solemn self-examination. And then it says, then let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. And it is assumed that during that solemn self-examination, anything that is could stand between you and the Lord would be confessed, forsaken, and then you can receive this. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily in that unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, said it's for this very cause that many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. That didn't mean on a certain sleeper. That meant there are those that have died as judgment. They have approached this in an unworthy manner, and the Lord has judged them and just said, you're doing me no good there. You just come home. You come home. Okay, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And so, it is a very solemn time, an important time of remembrance. As we remember the bread, it reminds us that the Lord willingly allowed his body, gave his body, they whipped his body, they beat his body, they pierced his body with thorns, they pierced his hands, his feet with nails. Do you know that the Lord willingly did that for you and for me? And this little wafer reminds us of his body, that he willingly, lovingly did it for you. And then we dig deeper and we get to the juice. And it reminds us that he shed his blood for you and for me. I'm going to ask John if he would just look to the Lord in prayer, thank the Lord for both of these elements, and then I'll have you men pass them out.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of your son, for him giving his body and his blood for us. We are the recipients of that gift. We accept the truth and accept the gift that he's given us in his body and his blood. We're so thankful for that. That you willingly given your son to give us that gift. And we're appreciative as we remember this time. We pray again that you would just bless this time as we take a few minutes to remember what you have done for us so willingly. In Jesus' name, amen.
thank you again for your assistance. You can make your way back to your seats.
Let's look to the Lord again, shall we? Now, Father, we are thankful. As our hearts are fresh and in great remembrance of what you have done for us, such a price. You were willing to pay sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing, in obedience to your Father, come, knowing what it was going to cost you your life, death, burial, but we praise you for the resurrection. As we move on, as we look at this portion of Scripture, I pray that our hearts would be spoken to as we think about the future and the things that we can count upon you for. We commit this to you now in your name. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. While you're finding that, I think the setting for the book of Deuteronomy must have been a very solemn one. The dying generation was almost gone. And the next generation, those younger ones, were just about ready to enter and conquer the promised land. The years of wandering in the wilderness were just about done as far as the context of the book of Deuteronomy is concerned. Soon Moses would die, and the leadership would transfer to Joshua. In some ways it can remind us of our day. The old year came to a close. Midnight, Friday night. And the new year is only in its second day as the new year has replaced the old. Well, let's listen in as Moses speaks about some things to come. Our message title, as you notice in the bulletin, is Facing the Great Unknown. What's ahead? Do you know? Well, I sure don't. Let's listen as Moses speaks about those things. And in chapter 7, beginning at about verse 12, Moses began to speak about all the blessings they could expect if, here's the big if, they were obedient to God. Verse 12, wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant, or the agreement, and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. He will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he swore or promised to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female, barren or without young, among you or among your cattle. And the Lord is going to take away from you all sickness, and will put none of the evil or harmful diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Thou shalt consume or destroy all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver unto thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. As we look at these, we think of all the blessings there in verses 12 through 16 that they could expect if they were obedient to the Lord. Materially, there was great blessings promised there. Physically, children, we find that even militarily, that none of the nations would be able to stand before them. We find that the Lord was going to bless them. They wouldn't have COVID disease. The other people would have COVID. None of those evil diseases that they have in Egypt, you won't have to worry about getting them. This is really quite a list if you go back and just stop and think about the promises there in 12, 13 through 16. How God was going to abundantly bless their crops and all their health, their children, their families. Doesn't it sound like the bottom line is things couldn't be better for you if you just obey the Lord? I wonder if that's true today in 2022. Do you think what was true way back then could still be true today? Just think of the blessings that God wants to shower upon his own if his own will just be obedient to him. As we look at this, we come to verse 17, though, and this is the natural response. If you say in your heart, these nations are more or stronger than I, how can I dispossess them or put them out? The natural response is to think that we have to face the challenges of the new year ourselves. That's just the natural way of thinking. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I don't know what I can do about it. I don't know how I can handle what I see shaping up, the signs on the, you know, the handwriting on the wall, and as I stop and think about the future and the things that are coming, I just don't know how I can possibly do those. Such thinking is faulty for the believer. Let me say that again.
Such thinking is faulty for the believer. To think that you and I have in ourselves what it's going to take to face what 2022 is going to bring. We don't. And Moses gives in the following verses the solution. When faced with such challenges as we try to stop and think about the future. Such and such is too big. Such and such, there's too many. Such and such, it's too hard. Such and such, it's too frightening. And the list could go on. There are three things that I want us to focus our attention on in the time that remains for us to remember as we face the great unknown. And I got 16 minutes to do it again. Three things as we face the great unknown. Look at verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Point number one is you and I face the unknown and a new year and whatever it might be bringing. The thing we need, number one, to do is to for us to remember what God has done. That's what verse 18 is about. Remember, don't be afraid, verse 18, but remember what God, just do a little mental review of your life, of your family, of the situation that you're in, as maybe you think, I am so discouraged, I'm so concerned, I don't know how I'm going to do this. On my own. You can't. But the answer that Moses gives, the first of the things that Moses gives to help his people face what's coming, whatever the unknown is, doesn't matter if we remember what God has done. Do you know that my God has a great track record? How about yours? How about yours? Does your God have a lengthy list of failures, disappointments, incompletion, leaving you in a bind? Mine doesn't. Now that's what my list has on it for me and what I've accomplished and my track record, but not my God's. And I know not yours either if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. What's 2022 going to bring? You look at the news, you listen to the broadcasts, you look at the things in the world, and I'll tell you, humanly speaking, it's easy to get discouraged and not get down. Agreed? It's not a pretty sight that the world is presenting here as we listen to the media, as you watch the news. But in all of this, we need to remember what God has done. And in the passage, he said, just remember what God did to Egypt. What did he do to Pharaoh and all of Egypt? Exodus 14. Exodus 14. At verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians, to the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. And as Moses spoke to his people, and he said, we're on the verge of, it's not going to be long, and God is going to be fulfilling his promises to us. God is going to be taking us into the land that he promised to us hundreds of years ago. And it's about time. And he said, rather than asking yourself, how are we going to be able to do this? He said, the first thing I want to remind you of is remember what God has done for us. Same for us. Rather than worrying how we're going to handle some big problem, we need to start thinking back to what we know God has done for us. There's how we can face the great unknown. Remember what God's done in the past. Number two, look at verse 19. Of Deuteronomy 7, I'm back there now. Not only remember what he did, but notice in verse 19, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord brought thee out. What's the next phrase? So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. What's the second thing Moses said? You want to know how to face the great unknown? Second thing he said, you need to remember what God is able to do. The first thing in verse 18, remember what he did. And as you face the great unknown, rather than throw up your arms, remember who God is and what he is able to do. Here's a question. Is there anything too hard for God? And all God's people said what?
No.
I don't know what 20 22 is going to bring for us. I think it'd be great if we hear the trumpet and the shout, and the Lord would just say, come home and let that COVID stay down there on earth and let those people deal with it. Why don't you just come on home? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But if he doesn't, and we go through the 364 days that are left, I guess, of 2022, how do we face the great unknown? By remembering what God can do. Remembering what God is able to do. I don't know what kind of challenges this year is going to bring. I don't know what my health is going to be this year, or your health, what economically our country is going to be this year. I don't know politically. I don't know socially. But I do know that God is able to do anything and everything. Moses reviewed for them the plagues and the miracles which resulted in their deliverance. And in verses 19 and 20, he said, God promises concerning the future. So shall the Lord thy God do, verse 19. Jeremiah quotes the Lord in Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer to that is what?
No.
No. What's ahead? I don't know. Don't start asking, how can I ever get through this? But start remembering the proven, that God has proven his ability in the past. And we can certainly count on it in the future. Malachi 3:5, you say, I am the Lord, I change not. Some might be thinking, but Pastor, maybe you're talking about, yeah, remember what God has done, and remember that he's able to do, but you know, that was then. This is the 21st century. Well, in Psalm 102, 27, it says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13, verse 8, we read, Jesus Christ, the same, do you know when? Yesterday, today, and forever. It's, what are you saying, Pastor? How we face the great unknown, look to the Lord. Doesn't matter what the future is going to bring. He is able. And we can count on him to be faithful, to take us through it, to give us the energy, to give us the strength, to give us the wisdom we need, to give us the guidance, to get us through according to his will for your life and mine. Well, you say, boy, those are some pretty good promises there, Pastor, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 18, remember what he's done. And verse 19, remember what he's able to do. How about number 3 in verse 21? Remember, God promises his presence. He's going to be with you. Look at verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted or afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is what? Among you. A mighty and awesome God. What a promise. What a promise. The fact that, remember, God promises his presence. Isn't that an encouragement as we think of this coming year? That no matter what happens to us, he's with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. As we think about this, in the face of the unknown, remember God promises to be with his own. Haven't you noticed that when you're facing something that sounds kind of spooky, sounds kind of iffy, I don't know about it, have you noticed it's not nearly so bad if you have someone with you, right or wrong? I don't care whether it's our health. I don't care whether it's our finances. I don't care whether it's some mess that's going on at work or what it might be. When you've got someone with you, it's not as hard, is it? Not as hard. Psalm 27:1. Listen. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. God promises his presence. 2 Kings chapter 6, very familiar story of Elisha and his servant. They were in a city, but while they were in that city sleeping, the enemy came and surrounded them. And in 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? Is really what he was saying. And he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. The Lord was there. And that's how we can face the future. What's ahead? Only God knows. But what an encouraging outlook for an obedient child of God. Let's review the points. Verse 18. Remember what God has done in the past in your life and mine. Remember God's ability to do anything. Verses 19 and 20. And remember his promised presence, verse 21 in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I close with an article from Charles Spurgeon. And it says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually," in Isaiah 58:11. The Lord shall guide thee. Not an angel, but Jehovah shall guide thee. He said he would not go through the wilderness before his people. An angel should go before them to lead them in the way. But Moses said in Exodus 33:15, "If your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here." Christian, God has not left you in your earthly pilgrimage to an angel's guidance. He himself leads the van. You may not see the cloudy, fiery pillar, but Jehovah will never forsake you. Notice the word shall. The Lord shall guide thee. How certain this makes it, how sure it is that God will not forsake us. His precious shalls and wills are better than men's oaths. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Then observe the adverb in that verse, continually. We are not merely to be guided sometime, but we are to have a perpetual monitor, not occasionally, to be left to our own understanding and so to wander, but we are continually to hear the guiding voice of the Great Shepherd. And if we follow close at his heels, we shall not err, but be led by a right way to a city to dwell in. If you have to change your position in life, if you have to emigrate to some distant shores, if it should happen that you are cast into poverty or uplifted suddenly into a more responsible position than the one you now occupy, if you are thrown among strangers or cast among foes, yet tremble not. For the verse in Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually." There are no dilemmas out of which you shall not be delivered if you live near to God, and your heart be kept warm with holy love. He goes not amiss who goes in the company of God. Like Enoch, walk with God, and you cannot mistake your road. You have infallible wisdom to direct you, immutable love to comfort you, and eternal power to defend you. Jehovah, mark the word, Jehovah shall guide you continually. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this short portion here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, that we were able to find great guidance and direction concerning the great unknown. May we take it to heart. May we believe it. May we count on it. I pray, Father, that this truth would settle in our hearts and be ringing in our ears in the coming days, weeks, months, yes, even years. May we resort to it often. May we remind ourselves of its precious truth, what you have done, what you are able to do, and the fact that we can always count on your presence. We thank you, Lord, in your name.